Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James.
The Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner, it is just me introducing an interview that James did with the esteemed, amazing, third dope queen, Michelle Buteau. Oh my God, you guys are in for a treat. So let's just head right into the episode, shall we? Hey guys, it's me and Eke doing my best Ira Glass impression, setting up the show, setting up the acts. Well, this time, unlike This American Life, we only have one act, and this act is a doozy. We got, drumroll please, Michelle Buteau. Yes, you saw her on Two Dope Queens, HBO special. You've seen her on her own Comedy Central special. You will be listening to her comedy album, Shut Up, available on iTunes and everything, Amazon, all of that stuff. I am incredibly jealous because I'm stuck all the way out here in sunny-ass California. Actually, it's pretty cloudy, but sunnier than New York. And I missed out on this opportunity for an interview, but you know what? You guys won't miss out because James has hooked you up. He is up in Michelle's house, sounded like it, just gabbing, having a good ass time, and man, she sounds so much fun. She sounds like a real hoot. They cover so many issues. You're going to get it all laid down, what it's like to be a woman of color in comedy, what it's like to do stand-up comedy, what is like self-esteem issues. They go deep a little bit. They talk about Oprah, of course. They also talk about Jenny Jones. What? When was the last time you heard that name? It's been a minute for me. Well, I'm sure you guys are sick of hearing me babble on forever, so why don't we just get right into the episode and enjoy, you guys. Enjoy.
Okay. Yeah, well, good thing I already hit record. I like to do a cold
open.
Oh,
my God!
Ah, we're here. Welcome to the podcast, Michelle Buteau. Oh,
it's a cold open, but it's warm inside, honey.
There it is. You're so many things. Can we run down the list for a second?
Yes.
Actor, comedian, am I being politically correct when I say actor, or do you go by actress? What is the thing now?
I go by whoever writes the check. I don't give a shit.
You call me whatever. Yes. Just make sure the check clears.
Yeah, like flight attendant or whatever the other word is. hostess or maitre d'. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And speaking of, and you also do hosting.
I do a lot of hosting. I love the hosting.
You're the third dope queen. Right.
Yeah, I'm the unofficial third dope queen. Although you're a dope queen, we all dope queens.
Oh.
I think it's just giving us permission to say that we dope.
Wow.
Without being like an NBA all-star, whatever the fuck they are.
We're starting it off with the tweetable moments. Like, that's like one of those aha moments, like, right there.
Yeah.
And you got a new album called Shut Up, which is on iTunes.
Yes, Comedy Central Records, Where My Check, iTunes, Spotify.
You heard it. Like, so we should just start playing Bitch Better Have My Money in the background.
Oh,
here.
My God. More like bitches. Oh, okay.
You should go outside the studio, Comedy Central, and just hold it up.
I know.
With the boombox.
I probably should write slave on my cheek, but my cheeks are just so big, it just wouldn't go well. Maybe on my rosé chin. Anyways.
I love the, can we talk about the album cover for Shut Up?
Sure!
It made my life.
Oh my God!
It gave me all the 80s sort of feel of like,
yes, that's what I was going for.
You know,
Diana Ross and Whitney Houston and Aretha Franklin and Celia Cruz. There are so many brown titty, powerful, ambitious bitches, and I just love album covers from that time too, where it was just like, you got to have your real face.
Yes.
And your fake hair.
Yeah.
And nobody had lashes on and looked like, you know, open mic drag queens. Not, you know, no shade to open mic drag queens, but it's like, why do women have to look like that now? I don't understand.
Yeah.
So anyways, I just, anytime I have to make a flyer or some sort of content, I'm just like, we gotta take it back to 80s, honey.
Yeah.
Maybe even 70s.
Yeah.
So my husband kind of put the concept together because he's a photographer.
Yeah.
And And he took the picture.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's kind of convenient being married to a photographer. I need some new pictures.
Well, the thing is, like, if you're not going to date someone that's in the same field as you, at least, you know, have sex with someone that can help you.
That's another tweetable moment right there.
Like, he's a good cook, too. He could fix stuff. It's like, why am I sucking your dick? Change a light bulb. Hello?
Taking notes. That's where my relationships went down the hatchet, because they just... We were not being able to service each other.
You know, you got
to
service each other in more ways than one, honey.
Ooh, write it down there.
Yeah.
Michelle, I myself and my co-host Aneka, who's so sad that she can't be here.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
We just couldn't make technology happen where she couldn't teleport in. But she says hi.
Hi, Boo.
And we were just so stoked that you agreed to be on the show. Because I feel like you're like one of the hardest working people in the business.
Because oh my God, thank you.
I see you everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'll see you on, like, you know, Key and Peele. Yep. I'll see you on Eric Andre's show.
Yep.
I'll see you on the Jenny McCarthy show.
Yes.
Like that short-lived show. You were also co-hosting that morning show.
I don't say no to much. Nick Lachey. Nick Lachey. And I also did a pilot with Chili from TLC.
TLC, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm anybody from the 90s. I'll be your co-host. JK Rowling. I'm done. But yeah, I mean, that's like the beauty of like this business, like just doing stand-up. It's like I find myself hosting male strip review.
Sure.
As you do. And then doing a fundraiser for children in Syria. And, yeah,
all the things.
It's all the things. And it's just like, why do I have to limit myself to one space? I want, you know, and I was the same exact way in high school. I was in the African American club. My mom thought I was going to become a Black Panther. I was like, bitch, we're making up dances to Aini Kamosi, Hot Stepper, and baking a cake for Kwanzaa. Bruh, fucking Lex. And then I'd be like in the Indian American club, and that was fun too. And we'd wash cars and like talk about like recipes for curry. And it was just like amazing. And so I kind of like having one foot in every door, because that's how you keep life interesting. And also, like, at the end of the day, I hate to be like, we're all human, but we are.
That's the truth of it.
Except for the president, but we're all human.
Yeah. Well, except for, he maybe is like a demon or an alien or something.
I don't know. He's like that zit that just keeps coming back in the same spot. And you're just like, how do I get rid of it?
Oh, God. I had a dream that, like, I think, because I'm watching Celebrity Big Brother, guilty. And one of the housewives who's on the show, I had a dream that she became the next president, that we had this obsession with reality TV.
Yeah. Which housewives is on the show?
Brandy. She drinks a lot.
Oh, Brandy Glanville.
Yeah.
I don't know. She has to drink out of a straw because her lips are doing the most.
Yeah.
I feel like her lips need an IMDb page right next to Lisa Rinna's lips. And I wonder whose star meter would be higher.
Oh my God. Lisa Rinna's lips are so huge.
Lisa Rinna's lips. Like, if I had a penis, I want to put my penis in there because it looks like a vagina. It's like a big, juicy vagina. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, but also, like,
didn't someone say, like, maybe this is enough, you know? Because it's like a life raft. Like, if the second coming of a flood came, I just hop onto her lips and I'm safe.
This is apples to oranges. And it's like, but I feel like that is like the beginning of a cultural appropriation when you want big lips. Not saying she's a Rachel Dolezal, because that's some other shit. Yeah. P.S. I look like Rachel Dolezal when I have braids. It's not okay. I look like I'm appropriating my own culture.
You're like, but this is me. It's really mine.
Scalp is so white. I'm just like, ugh, I wouldn't do it either. And it's always so windy, I feel very vulnerable. But the point is, what the fuck was the point?
Apples to oranges, how Lisa Rinna's lips is possibly cultural appropriation.
Of course. Mm. I think so.
Yeah. It might even be like, and this is maybe the worst kind of cultural appropriation, because they're not even aware of it.
Yeah.
Speaking of cultural appropriation, I had a friend of mine who was trying to defend, like, he was like, I just want to get your advice before I post this on Facebook.
Oh, no.
Already a red flag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever you're thinking.
Anything is just like, I don't mean to sound racist. ..., or this isn't racist,
.. Stop.
Yes, then you have already answered your question, bitch.
We're done.
If you gotta ask somebody, it's a no.
Yes.
Let me just say, for the record, I've met Lisa Rinna. I've auditioned with her. I think she's lovely.
Sure.
I think she does really well as a housewife because she's a hustler. She's about the money.
Mm.
You know, she is not from a famous family. She didn't make a sex tape to get over or under.
Yeah.
And she's doing her thing. I just want to...
It's more like a PSA or like a...
Yes, it's bigger than her lips. The issue is bigger than her lips.
I love that. I always want to put that like on some posters or banners.
Are there politicians for entertainment news? I want to be one.
There it is. There's your campaign. The issues are bigger than her lips.
Yes.
But my friend, he like was, he had all these like white guy. I mean, just to make sure that we're all on the same page.
We all need to have at least the one. Yes.
But he had this thing where he had these outfits that he had like these African dashiki outfits. He had these sort of Asian influence outfits, and he essentially was like,
he going to Afropunk? What the
He was like, can I wear I'm appreciating these cultures, I want to be able to wear them. And basically the conversation was like, now is not the time in the world of Wakanda. So can we have this moment right now? Can we have this like celebrating Africa without white folks having to wear they're African dashikis?
Yeah, they could just show up and support, watch a movie, go to a protest for Black Lives Matter, donate to the NAACP.
All those
things. Could do it in other ways besides wearing a fucking dashiki and a head wrap like you're a fucking, like you're an out-of-work yoga teacher trying to teach a belly dance class. No, bitch, you do not go to Alvin Ailey. Stop it!
Man, yeah, I think we do have to run your campaign because that's some good shit there. And that's the same thing that I was sort of thinking. It was like, instead of you trying to defend your right, he's like, well, if I can't wear it now, when it will be the right time?
Bitch, why are you concerned?
I was like, you know, wear it and understand that not everybody is going to understand that maybe you're just trying to appreciate it. Those outfits that like people are going to have look at you sideways, and you just have to like, is that more important to you? Or like, put your like myself, I'm putting my energy towards unarmed black men are being shot and killed in the streets by police. Like, that's where my energy is going towards instead of you, like you were saying, be cause instead.
Exactly. Like, I'm so happy that you want to get front row tickets to Kendrick Lamar. Thank you so much. Also, now all the black people can't afford to go to the fucking concert. I went to Kendrick Lamar and it looked like the biggest bar mitzvah I've ever been to. And I'm like, what? And the thing is, it's like, I love it when, I love it when cultures sort of like mix and intertwine and then, you know, and it makes the world smaller and it's a beautiful thing. But also it's just like priorities. I think it's just fucking priorities.
Mm.
Like, you know, my priority isn't like, how come I can't wear a cowboy hat? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, how do I get equal pay?
Yeah.
Ugh!
Touching on that. Let's move into your woman in the industry.
Yeah, let's make it happy. Because now I feel like I need a downward dog. Yeah,
well, let's talk about comedy because that's what you do.
Did
you always know that you wanted to go into comedy? Like,
no, I had no idea.
You had no idea.
I had no idea.
Were you cracking jokes as a kid, putting on shows, or
my childhood is so blackout right now.
Mm.
Nothing traumatic happened.
Sure.
It's just I have a bad memory. I really do, and I think that's why my dad named me after him, because we just forget a lot of stuff, and so we just like to keep it easy. I was the only child, so I remember doing like a lot of shows for my parents and my dolls. I was like a 6-year-old Josephine Baker, and then my mom got me a Cabbage Patch doll, and I was like, well, Ma, I need a white one and a black one and an Asian one and an Indian one. Well, my family's like very multicultural anyways, being from the Caribbean, everybody fucks everybody, so you're kind of related to everybody.
Yeah, that's how it works. Which islands are your folks from?
My mom's from Jamaica, my dad's from Haiti.
Oh. My mom's side, we hail from Trinidad and Tobago. And then my co-host, Aneke, shout out, Jamaica.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Jamaica. Yeah, I have never been to Trinidad, but my dad used to live in Venezuela, and I always thought when I would go visit him, I'm like, I got to go to Trinidad. And I've always wanted to go to Carnival, but I can never get that Rihanna body popping. And I know you can let it hang out.
Yeah, do you?
But that's not me, honey. I gotta be taught.
When you go, you want the full experience.
I want the full. I want the two-piece. I don't want the modified one-piece. The girl in the back. I want someone to be able to like lift me and be like, big truck, big truck. That's all. That's all I want. I just want to like, but you know, just cut to me eating roti in the back.
So good. Perfect. Also, accent with the way you just said that.
Oh, roti. Hide the roti. What I love about when I was in Miami, I had a lot of friends from Trinidad, and I would always go to these weddings, and fights would inevitably always break out because the rum is strong and the feelings are real. And everybody would just be like, hide the roti, because shit was getting fucked up. Anyways, I remember also being in a bathroom growing up and like using my mom's products that were like just about to be done and doing like a cooking show for myself in the mirror.
Wow.
So there's always been like a thing.
Yeah. Putting on shows and stuff. I love that like the audience was, were you able to like correct yourself as you were like in the mirror doing it for yourself of like, oh, I should do it with more arm movements. Oh yeah. The blackout.
Yeah, the blackout. Like, I remember that, but I don't remember details. I'd be the worst witness in a fucking murder.
They're like, you were, like, standing right there, like, what happened? You're like...
I'm just all emotion. I'm just like, I was about to burp, but something happened. Like, I have no idea. I can't describe people. And they'd be like, was he white? I'm like, yeah, but there must have been some sort of mixing. I'm just, it's like, not okay.
So how did you then get into comedy? From the bathroom to...
Yeah, it was weird, because in high school, I was, like, really, really shy. And then I had sex for the first time in college. And I was just like, let the sun shine. I was like, who are you looking at, me? Like, all I needed was an orgasm to literally find my voice.
So young women out there, or men as well.
Yeah.
Have the sex.
Have the sex.
And then your voice will be found.
I think so. I think also it's important to own your sexuality and not, and we were talking about shame.
Yeah.
And stuff before. And, you know, shame, it's like giving the other person power and covering up who you are because you don't want to deal with it, or the truth is real, or whatever the fuck it is. Mm-hmm. But it really is always okay. I think if 45 has taught us anything, it's like, it's kind of okay if you're yourself because people really don't care.
Yeah.
Moving on, I was working in the news. Editing?
Yeah.
I wanted to be a journalist.
Really?
But my professor at the time...
Who was like your guiding light at that moment?
You're Oprah, like, Donahue, Jenny Jones.
Yeah. Jenny Jones.
Jenny Jones. She used to be a comedian too.
Really?
She was a comedian too.
I love Jenny Jones. But then she pretty much lost her show after that one guy killed somebody, right?
Yeah, that was fucked up. That was pretty fucked up.
Because they were doing those like, look who has a crush on you.
Yeah, it was a secret crush. And then the guy told a guy friend that he had a crush on him. And he was so... And the guy was so mortified, the guy he had a crush on, that he ended up killing the other guy.
Yeah.
And that is so crazy.
And that I think that also connects to what we were talking about earlier is shame. Mm-hmm. Of like how we need to address our shame. And especially if you're like men. Well, I think everybody has these issues with shame and they sort of come out in different ways. But we like he was having these shame feelings, didn't know how to deal with it, and then took it
out.
Are
we talking about the guy? Oh, but also that is... That is
it's a fucked up
psycho.
Thing.
He's psycho. And we've all had a crush on a guy with psycho tendencies, but it's some other level to like take it out. And I forget how homophobic the world was at that point.
Right.
So what Jenny was doing was like really groundbreaking. I want to say mid to late 90s.
Because that's the only place I really saw like gay people was on like talk shows.
Talk shows,
you know,
absolutely.
And you secretly, for myself, it was my only avenue to see like, you know, you know, but you don't know, or you're not really sure. Mm-hmm. But that was like that and Melrose Place, or like nine, like yeah, that was it. That's where I saw.
Was there a gay character in Melrose Place?
There was, but then they made him straight.
What?
The guy who used
they pray the gay away?
I think he ended up. He was like he had a friend of his who wanted to have a daughter or something, and so they kind of just straight washed his character eventually.
No.
It was the guy who used to be on Desperate Housewives as well. He was married to.
Oh yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah,
I don't know his name, but he's like always like that white guy that's like on every show.
Yeah. But yeah, he. So it was like him. And then Jerry Springer and Jenny Jones, only place I saw.
Jerry was like insane. Before like My Strange Addiction or like any of those shows, Jerry really exposed a lot of that.
Which is now just reality television, because now we go home with those people.
Oh yeah.
And we see their fucked up crazy
lives.
We're
inundated. Yeah. And YouTube and all that stuff and Ridiculousness and all that stuff. But before that, Jerry really kind of, he definitely shone a light on that, honey.
Yeah.
And, you know, Maury Povich and...
Still going. They're still trying to figure out who the daddy is. I'm always sad when there's, like, 13 guys, and then they're high-fiving each other, none of them are their dad. But I'm like, but this kid's... And the picture of the kid's
I know.
Still there.
I know.
Yeah.
It's pretty insane. It's... I can't even...
Well, so, you were gonna be a journalist.
I had a professor tell me I was too fat to be on camera.
Fuck that professor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Do you think that still happens today? You think
absolutely.
Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would like to hope that is not the case anymore. But I'm naive.
Yeah.
I'm a Pollyanna sometimes.
You know, I don't want to be like flyover states, but this is why I kind of stay on the coasts, because I do feel like I love diversity, and with diversity comes acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just like it better. And I'm also from Jersey. But, you know, it was really crazy because I just kind of believed him. And I was like, you're right, I guess, because no one did look like me. And I was going to school in Miami, and everyone looked like a low-budget Sofia Vergara, blonde or brunette, titties, red lips, V-neck, tell me about the traffic, honey. And that was the world. Wow. And again, that was like 95 to 99.
Yeah.
So that also was happening too. Like, diversity was just Oprah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was it.
And Geraldo. You know, people couldn't even be like, oh my God, I can't believe he kept his name.
Right. Yeah, they weren't like, change it to Jerry or... Well,
exactly.
That name was already taken. So,
exactly. Yeah. So there was that. And like, Angelina Jolie was the one Puerto Rican. Even though she's not Puerto Rican, she had them lips. Everyone thought she was Puerto Rican.
They were like, oh, there's finally a Puerto Rican actress and we'll take it.
Exactly.
We'll take anybody.
She was...
I'm like, Vin Diesel, yeah, he's one of us. Like,
she was the ethnic girl. And so this was before like... Mindy and Melissa McCarthy and like that whole lovely titty movement. I know, I'm such like an ignorant feminist.
Every time you say that, I imagine like the posters and the banners and people marching, and I think they're great posters and banners.
Yeah,
we gotta reclaim these words. It's great. Yep.
Yes, reclaiming my time, reclaiming my titties. Get over it.
Damn, so many tweetable moments.
Reclaiming my titties. So, yeah, I just worked in production for a really long time, but always with the hopes to be in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm just like, oh, fuck not listening to your inner voice.
Mm.
But also, what a weird time.
But what was your inner voice saying? Go for it. Do it. You are enough. Like, fuck this guy, this professor who said that you can't do it.
My inner voice, it really kind of felt like my mom and everybody else that like that had raised me, like, be polite, don't be loud, straighten your hair, cover your freckles, be feminine, their idea of what that is. You know, like, be an independent woman, but don't be loud about it.
Yep.
And so, obviously, people who are hearing this and have not seen me, I could not be further. I'm like size 16, 18. Freckles popping, hair hasn't been brushed in 3 days. Do I give a fuck? No! No. Still sucking my husband's dick 10 years later and loving it. Gulp, gulp, slurp, slurp.
Is that your new pop single coming out?
Yes. Yeah. And there's a dance with it, too.
I can choreograph that for you.
Yes, it's going to be a Zumba class warm-up. Get your neon shorts out, honey.
But that's also, you were saying, too, that was the time.
That was the time.
Wow. Like,
what a weird fucking time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we're coming out of that?
Coming out, but isn't there always so much work to do? I mean, Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever.
Even Wakanda had to fucking figure it out.
Yeah. But I mean, but that's what I love about that movie is that they're so far ahead of the time where, like, they have, like, the women are just, it's such a, they're just right there along. And it's not even a question.
Yeah.
It's not part of the conversation. We've already moved past that.
Yes.
We're dealing with this other shit.
Yes. That's what I love about going to Holland, because it's truly going Dutch. They invented that term.
Yeah.
It's truly 50-50 equal.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm fine with that. It's like, well, you can open your own door. Do you know I can open my own door?
Yeah. I got arms.
Yeah.
I could do this.
Like, women get, and this is the thing, and this is what I love about, like, just having a matriarchal society, too. It's just like, they have actual queens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even about, like, women are weak.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, women are fucking powerful. They're in the statues everywhere.
Yeah.
And when they get maternity leave, they get a year off.
Which makes sense.
Yes! Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of, it's not like, oh, I had the baby, let me have a few days, and now I'm back at it.
Yes.
It's just a lot of other, and you know what? Their children are a lot less fucked up than ours.
Hello!
Like, there it is.
Is this thing on?
Check.
Speak on it, honey. This is like, where's Jake Tapper? This is my town hall meeting.
Oh, he can get it.
Jack Tapper can tap it anytime you want.
Jack and Jake Tapper, both of them.
Oh, no!
Hopefully he's got a brother. They can
wait
both
a minute!
Get it.
Did I say Jack the first time?
No, you said it right the first time. And then I was like, oh, now his cute brother's coming
I
along?
I was also thinking about
Sign
Van Jones.
Oh, he can get it, too. Just line them up. Line them all up.
That's my nickname for myself, The Messy Truth.
Oh, yeah. So, as a comedian, what do you feel like, how do you use comedy for yourself?
It's the therapy I can afford.
Yeah.
I've had, like, a rough 3 years in terms of having a baby and IVF and miscarriages. And I've tried writing about miscarriages. It isn't necessarily funny yet, but storytelling really helps. And also doing a show and not thinking about it and talking about it and talking about something else really helps. So, you know, comedy is great for me because it feels therapeutic, and it's always like such a nice rush and high to connect with people, to make their day better, to make my day better, to make the world a little less stressful. And that's not even just like with the IVF. It's like anything I was going through before. And also that paycheck, honey, that paycheck feel good.
Well, and you're getting paid off of your talents and your gifts that, like you said, let's get Oprah here for a second. This is your gift, and this allows you to shine.
Yes.
And I like when we shine brighter, it allows other people to shine. So when you're making them laugh, they can forget their problems or heal, because you say something that's so truthful.
Yeah.
And comedy has a way of just cutting through the truth of it.
Yes.
And like, there's something that's also an evolutionary standpoint. There's not many, I don't think any other animals except bonobos maybe laugh. Like, we have humor.
Well, I can't confirm or deny. I'm gonna let you have that.
They'll start tweeting at me. You know how they get. They'll be like, no, the dolphins or
bonobo
something.
Bonobo Twitter shut it down.
But what you do through your comedy and as a storyteller, like, you're able to let, like, your healing, your truth happens, and then it allows for other people as well.
And that's the thing about comedy. Everybody, it's just one of those weird things. It's like music, where everybody has their own opinion on it, like, as if they are a musician. So on the one hand, it's fun to do something that people definitely have an opinion about, but it's also like, can you just shut the fuck up and not be Simon right now on America's Got Talent? Like, just fucking sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Dude, there's, well, that, but
everybody's got an opinion, and Brene Brown talks about this, is that, like, if you're not in the arena, your opinion doesn't matter. You know, he's sitting from the stands and having those ideas and opinions. I don't care about your opinion because you're not down in the trenches. Right?
I would co-sign, like, there's a dollop of that that I'm co-signing with. But I think people's opinions are valid in that they're showing up for you and they're buying your material.
Fair enough. Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I see you on that.
You're not my editing partner or my co-producer.
Yeah.
But I really like when people react to something.
Sure.
Because that means...
Because you're also not, like, just getting up in a microphone and just doing the comedy for yourself. Or, like, when you did that 7 minutes in Purgatory show.
I haven't watched it.
Oh, you haven't? You're great.
No.
You
slid. Okay, great.
You haven't? Oh,
no,
watch
why would
it.
I watch that?
You're so good in it.
Watching myself do stand-up is like watching myself take a shit. Like, it feels good. It's natural. I do it every day, sometimes twice a day. Don't ever need to see it.
I can see that.
Don't need to see it. Do you have sex in front of a mirror?
Am I on trial right now?
Yes, honey.
Okay.
Call me Judge Booty. Judge Booty.
Oh, Judge Booty. That's a show right there.
Honey.
What show would that... What network would take
we'll
that?
We'll figure it out. Okay. People will steal this shit. We got to figure it
Sometimes
out.
Sometimes I don't mind if it happens to be there. I don't purposely put it there, but if it's there, I won't be like, let's put it away.
Okay,
like,
okay.
Oh, this
okay,
is fun.
Okay,
this
okay,
is really interesting.
Okay.
But you're great in it, and the challenge is, going back to the point, that you were doing comedy, and there's no, just set the show, you're doing comedy and you're in this giant beautiful theater, there's no one in the audience. Audience is on the roof, so they're watching like a telecast of it.
Yeah, it's like the Truman Show.
Yeah,
but you're doing comedy for no one.
Yeah, what was that experience?
It was insane.
Like,
it was insane because
you're not getting that feedback.
You're not getting the instant gratification. It's as if you're having sex with someone, like, but they're not giving you anything. And then afterwards, they're like, that was amazing. Oh, wait, did I just describe marriage? Okay, wait a minute.
He definitely described my last relationship.
Oh, no!
Like, oh, you're just sitting there twirling your hair. Are you enjoying this? Oh, yeah, it's great.
What would Judge Booty do?
Yeah, what would... That's the first pilot episode. Putting that one up. And then
what would Judge Booty do?
Oh, man.
So, anyways, it was weird because I thought it would be fine and great. I was like, whatever, I'll just plow through my material and I'll be fine. But then I was like, this is not okay. This doesn't feel right. It feels unnatural. It feels like you're jumping out of a plane.
You know what I thought that you did what I thought you did is I saw you adjust in it, and you would make a comment about how, oh, no one's really here. Like, you weren't just doing your set as if there was an audience.
Yeah.
You took in the fact that there is no audience.
You had to.
And I'm just going to, that's what I'm working with here.
I don't know. Now I feel like I want to watch it, but I don't want to watch me. I want to watch somebody else do it.
Okay. Well, you just watch the other segment. Why did we get onto this? Comedy, you do it.
See, this is what happens.
Yeah,
it's like a black hole.
Is that because we're both black?
Yes. And we both have holes.
It's true. Judge Booty would say. So as a woman of color in the comedic industry, you are at intersectionality lane. You're at the cross section there.
That was so hard to say.
It was. I struggled.
Yeah. That can't even fit on a magnet. If it can't fit on a magnet, honey, don't say it. Judge Booty residing.
What is it? Denied or whatever. So what is it also like being a woman of color in the comedic industry? But is anything, these are two unrelated questions. So I'm just putting them out there now.
Perfect.
Before I forget them.
Okay.
So one, being a woman of color in the comedic industry.
Yes.
What's that experience like? And then is there anything you're talking about? We were talking about comedy earlier, and I'm so interested. Is there anything that you feel is off limits in terms of comedy? You know, as we say, it can be a healing process or a storytelling. There's some comedians who are like, I should be able to say anything.
Well, I'm also like, when I say read the room, I'm like, read the world. Like, what's the temp? You know, if it's September 13th, 2001, is you gonna do jokes about terrorism?
Yeah.
There's a healing period and where you can be like, okay, hashtag time's up. Now let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend that was opening for Chris Rock on the road last year. And he was like, you know, Chris gave me this really great advice that I love to repeat. And it's, you can talk about anything as long as it's fucking funny. Like, you just got to make it funny.
Mm.
And I'm taking that advice to heart because it's just like, one of the miscarriages I had, I was in the middle of a creative meeting with Channing Tatum's Magic Mike crew.
Wow.
And I was up for hosting the live show in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so now every time I see Channing's face, I think of miscarriage. And I think that's fucking hysterical.
Okay.
Because how?
Yeah.
Also, who's named Channing? And so I love it. And people are just like, that's crazy. I'm just like, just give me a second. I have to make it funny.
Yeah.
Because it's my truth. Now, being a woman of color, good God. I mean, it's only getting better, but in any industry, it's just like, you have to be 17. You have to be Octavia Spencer in every movie.
Yeah.
You just have to be better, faster, stronger because,
as they say in Scandal, work twice as hard to get half as much. I think that's a world thing, but I first heard it on Scandal.
Which is also a world thing.
Yeah.
I realize how fast I talk in America because I don't have a lot of time to hold somebody's attention, especially a man's attention.
Mm.
In writer's rooms or interviews or just, you know, working on set, it's like, I naturally talk fast anyways, but I'm just like, oh, I only have you for 30 seconds because I know you're going to start to... And I'm not speaking for every man, but that has definitely been the case for me. And when I go to Holland, not the case at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like really refreshing. I'm not saying like the Amsterdam tourist industry is like backing me, but
sure.
This is again just my truth.
You know, I had the same feeling. I almost moved. This is before I met my now ex boyfriend, but I'm moving to Amsterdam because I felt accepted. I felt like I just felt there's a thing there. There's like an advancement that you're talking about.
Because it's older and time heals.
Yeah.
Come back to America in 200 years.
Yeah. And then, yeah. I mean, because we're still kind of so, first of all,
we're a baby country.
Such a baby country.
We're a big baby.
Yeah. And
we're huge.
And we have such an original sort of issue. Like, the slavery physically was here on this continent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't. Like, there wasn't as many slaves that went over to Europe because they were like, oh, we already have our servants here, yada. They were going over here to Central America, South America, and North America.
To build a country. Our backs.
Yeah. And
yes.
So it's, and there's still, and for four centuries, that's a lot of time.
That's a long time.
And so it's only been not in existence for like, I'm not a math, 106, I just did the math recently, 160 years.
Isn't that crazy?
That's not a long time ago.
Prohibition.
Yeah.
Prohibition. Not very long ago. And now, Hoda and Kathy Lee are just drinking wine, like, on live TV.
What a time to be alive.
Girl, where's my Pinot Grigio? Because, yeah, so, on the one hand, you know, my dad is this crazy only child, fatherless from Haiti, who, you know, and I find Haitians so resilient and amazing because they, by the time they're two, they speak four languages.
Wow.
And, you know, my dad really is just like this self-made everything. I didn't want to put his digits out there, how much he made. But, you know, he really instilled in me, you always, no matter what, turn your negative into a positive.
Wow.
So I would always complain that I was the only black kid in school. And he's just like, let people look to you for everything. Like, you be their gateway. Like, you do what you have to do and don't worry about anybody else. Don't work for a thank you. And so
wow.
I was always just like,
I want to don't work for a thank you.
No. Be like, wow. You're welcome. Yeah.
I love that. You know, it's funny, in my acting school, they used to have this thing when we go into an audition, it's their lucky day.
Oh, no.
You know?
Oh, trust.
Right? Yeah. But it is that thing that we all have a gift and we all are a gift into another.
And why are we asking for permission?
And don't you feel like, I mean, I feel like,
what are those casting people doing? Hit and record? Fuck off.
Yeah. Like,
why do we care?
I feel like so much of, I feel like, especially when you're a marginalized person, is asking for that permission.
I know. Yeah, it's in our DNA, and we are slowly but surely fixing it. I'm on the cusp because I'm 40, so I'm just like, I'm sorry. I'm not! Sorry, I yelled. I'm not! So, it's fine. We're fine. Yeah, so I do feel like a late bloomer in that sense, because I was really just sort of like a product of like my mom's society and then like mine. But my dad was always just like, you know, you have to turn whatever you don't like into something positive. So, you know, I'm like, okay, there's only a spot for one female on this show. And I know that, and that was for a very long time, and often places still the same. Yeah. And people will always remember the female, whether they're funny or not.
Truth.
So I'm just like, I got to bring it. And it's changing now, thank God. And, you know, that's why I love, like, Phoebe Robinson, and her idea of what stand-up should be is really just, like, all-inclusive. It's like, you always hear Remy Ma, like, feuding with, like, Lil' Kim or, like, Nicki Minaj. It's just like, what would happen if we all came the fuck together? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about Wakanda, too. It's just like, we are stronger together.
Yes.
So why don't we take care of each other?
My mom literally just told me, because you know, when you're the only, you feel like you're constantly competing with the other or the only.
Yeah, like a Mexican standoff. And they put that on us. Yeah. We don't put it in, on us.
And my mom is saying, because there was, you know, she was saying, she's always said this, and she reminded me of this because, you know, there's another nerdy black guy being cast on the show that I work on, and I'm like, oh no, what does that mean for me? And she's like, there's room for everyone at the top.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like, that's not, that might not be your role, but there's something else over here, something down the pipeline.
Plus, like, can't there be more than one Blurred?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? There's gotta be more than one Blurred.
And then, like, for me, it's like, well, fuck, I'll just go create that show then, you know?
Exactly. We always wait for the industry to tell us yes or no. But if we are content creators, you know, nobody could tell us no except for us. And don't tell yourself no before someone tells you no. What's the point?
Yeah.
Go to fucking Citibank and work on a fucking window if you want to do that and give away red lollipops.
Damn.
Not that there's anything wrong with that,
because
you're good at math, and I'm very impressed.
But if that is not your true calling and your true mission and your true gift, then, like, and you're doing a disservice not only yourself, but
and
the world.
And don't blame people. You're not the fucking victim here, okay? It's so easy to be a victim. Stop.
Yeah.
To be a victim, I mean, it's just like, I have a couple of gay friends who are not comfortable fully coming out, and they constantly date straight people. And I'm like, this is your way of never really putting yourself out there. You have to put yourself out there, because who just said we learn from our mistakes, not when we get shit perfect? Oh my God, I think it was Lisa Rinette.
Look
bringing
at that.
It back.
Voice of
bringing
Angel.
It black, Lisa Rinette. I think she met her lips. Just kidding. Just kidding, honey. Lisa, I love you, honey.
Oh, man. She just gave us our next tweetable moment. She was like, don't forget I said this. She literally was like meditating right now and was just channeling that to you.
Oh, my God.
Thanks,
in her
Lisa.
Little tiny yoga pants. Good God. I want to be so skinny, like I don't have a camel toe.
You're like, where is it?
Exactly.
Oh, man. That's, I feel awkward making jokes about women's vaginas.
Why?
I just don't know that that's my space.
Cool, like, don't.
Okay.
You know.
Perfect. So it's like, if you feel comfortable doing it.
I do. I have a camel hoof. It's so fat.
Yeah. Okay.
I love how uncomfortable you're getting.
Did you see that?
I did. Oh, so man. Here's the thing about periods. Just kidding.
Okay, this, we're going there.
I do feel like if men had their periods, then tampons would be free. Everyone suck a dick. I can't believe there's a tax on tampons.
That's crazy.
That's why there's condoms for free all over the fucking bars now. I mean, also AIDS, but still.
Yeah, those two going hand in hand. For how, like, you know, it's interesting. I'm seeing a through line here. You talk so much about, like, the just... Because we were talking about, like, I feel like comedy allows for the elimination of sort of shame mm-hmm. around things, you mm-hmm. know? Because you're able to be in a space where you can laugh at it. And even if you're not fully healed from it, it allows you to sort of continue that healing process.
It's really interesting. The most successful, prolific comedians are truth seekers.
Mm.
If you're going to go and do... basic setup punch, you know, my wife and kids, blah, blah, blah. There is room for that. And there are people, but those people also don't want to think and they don't want to
get vulnerable.
Don't want to get vulnerable either. Mm. So I feel like if you were doing comedy, if you were creating something, if you feel like you want to somehow, you're like, I could be a cultural influencer or whatever the fuck, you just have to dig deeper than you are comfortable with. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, yeah. It does. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
because it puts it out there. And again, it eliminates, like, and people are able to connect with that, as we were talking about earlier.
Well, that's the thing, too. When you put something out there so private or sad or whatever it is, you think that you're alone and you're the only one.
Mm.
And the truth is, you are not. Did you see that movie with... oh my God, what's her name from, oh my God, what's the name of that show?
Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, Grey's Anatomy.
Amy Poehler, NBC.
Oh, Parks and Rec?
Parks and Rec, but she was like the hipster white girl.
Oh yeah, she played April.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's her name?
I'm blanking on it. They're tweeting on us right now. Oh, what?
I know.
I keep wanting to say April Kepner, but that's
she does this movie called
Grey's Anatomy.
I know. She does this movie called Ingrid Goes West.
Okay, I remember. I didn't see it. I didn't see that movie.
I saw it on the airplane.
That's one of those good airplane movies, right?
It's one of those good airplane movies.
I love a good airplane movie.
It got really deep, and she was struggling with depression, and was kind of like a creepy stalker friend, and O'Shea Jackson's in it too, Junior.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, the Junior. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I'm trying to picture Ice Cube, like, in it.
Yeah. God, what's her name? And so, anyways, so she's depressed, and she goes through a lot of stuff, and it's really embarrassing. And she gets so embarrassed, she just, like, don't want to give too much away, but spoiler alert, if you want to see the movie, don't want to hear this. Earmuffs. Also, who gives a fuck?
Okay? Aubrey Plaza. I looked it up.
Aubrey Plaza! Yes!
I like
it. It's just like those
she's
two.
On Legion.
I know, but it's just like those two words you don't hear enough.
Yeah, right.
Because it's a mall, it's not a plaza.
It's not a plaza.
Yeah. And Aubrey. Who's Aubrey?
Aubrey from Danity Kane.
No, thank you. Oh, drama. Aubrey. She's like the white Omarosa. I don't have time.
She is the white
Bye,
Omarosa.
Bye, bitch.
And she's ruined my favorite. Well, P. Diddy helped ruin that group. He made the band, then he ruined the band. I'm
what
so
was
hurt.
The name of their song?
Damaged.
Damaged.
I thought that I should let you go. Something like that.
Some shit.
Showstopping.
All those poor girls.
Showstopping.
Oh, I don't remember that. Thank God.
Black that one out. That's in the blackout box.
Yeah, I'll put that with Wesley Snipes' Taxes.
Oh, yeah. He's
just lost. Yeah.
Good for him.
Good for him.
DMX is out, too.
Who?
DMX, is he
out? Oh, yeah. And also Mike from Jersey Shore and his brother. They're going to get time.
Wow.
Yeah. Y'all pay your taxes, y'all.
Yeah, pay
the
those taxes.
The only two things you have to do in life is pay taxes and die.
That's it.
Okay?
Two things that you've got to do.
That'll fit on a magnet.
Oh.
Anyways, so Ingrid Goes West, Aubrey Plaza at the end, suicidal, makes a video on Instagram. And she's like, I don't remember what she says verbatim, but she's just sort of like, I'm done. I've tried. And then she takes a bunch of sleeping pills. She wakes up in a hospital bed.
Oh, I thought that was the end of the movie. I was like, wow, that's a major spoiler.
No, but this is like the legit end.
Yeah.
So, oh, oops. Well, sorry, whatever.
This is important. It connects to what we're talking
it
about.
It is.
So
she wakes
Jet
up.
Jet Booty says yes.
She wakes up in a hospital bed. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is next to her. And she's just wakes up to a bunch of balloons and flowers. And she's like, who am I? Where am I? Her video went viral because she was never able to connect with anybody her whole life. But she said this one crazy, intensely private, hurtful fucking thing. Like, posted that moment and connected with people all over the world.
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially, not to get too deep here, but when you're suicidal, you do feel like all hope is lost. Yeah. And no one could ever imagine how you feel. And, you know, that your demons are getting the best of you and you can't even see the next day or understand what that's like. You know, most people are just like, I want to have a big house and kids. And you can't even see that future when you're in that dark place. And that movie was so beautiful at the end because, like, everybody was just like, I'm like that too. Thank you. I'm not alone. You're not alone. So getting back to comedy, mm-hmm. not to sound like a diac, but that's what it is too. You feel less alone.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it nice that people could connect with it and then also they feel less alone?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I just got my period.
Okay. Wow. This is a groundbreaking moment.
I just got a zit on my chin and period all over my kitchen table.
But like, I think that you are a storyteller. I'm a storyteller as well. And it's the oldest profession next to prostitution.
Same thing, right?
Pretty much, depending on trying to get those checks. some of the work that you say yes to. But it's that thing is that, like, it's interesting what you're talking about. A lot of the folks I've been listening to, whether it's, like, Oprah Winfrey or Deepak, they talk about, like...
Don't you love Deepak's voice?
Deepak is great. I could just listen. I, like, meditate to him, but then I fall asleep. But I think that's okay. It's part of the process.
Yeah, and it's like the morning meditation. Yeah. Just kidding.
Yeah. I'm like, back to bed. I'm like, I got up so early today, 6 a.m. And then I wake up and it's like, oh, it's 10.
Deepak is truth when I'm on a subway during rush hour traffic.
You just like find that inner zen.
I got to.
Someone might end up dead.
like my spirit.
Oh, deep.
Yes.
But, you know, talking about, like, I feel like it's interesting what you're talking about is that comedy allows us to connect to other people. And that's all we really want to do is feel like we are not alone and that we are connecting to each other.
Yeah.
And so interesting that, like, storytelling in general, I feel like, does that. It creates empathy. But especially comedy is such an interesting way to allow that to happen.
Yeah. It's great to laugh.
How do you do that? Do you feel like you specifically speak to a demographic or you're like,
I have no idea what my demo is.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I would say balding people or people with like problem areas.
Okay. You speak to everybody who's got shit and issues.
Yeah.
About them.
Do
you feel a responsibility to be like to speak up for like black women or like.
Sometimes,
yeah.
But no, I mean, no, because my journey as a black woman is so different from Amanda Seales, from Tiffany Haddish, from Leslie Jones, and that's the thing too. It's like we're all from different walks of life, and that's what I feel like a lot of Hollywood executives don't get. When they say we want a character that's African-American, they'll actually never be like African-American. They'll be like, sassy, tell it like it is. And I'm like, stop it, bitch. Then get Aubrey Day. Is it O'Day?
Aubrey O'Day.
O'Day?
Aubrey O'Day. So you do comedy for all.
I do comedy for all.
What do you feel is your life's sort of mission and calling or part of your goal here on this planet?
I don't know. It changes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know because that's sort of like thinking of myself in a third person. Mm. And I just am truly thankful that I get to wake up every day and see my dogs and my husband. And I can't wait for us to extend our family. Mm-hmm. And I really just, whether I'm hosting a dinner party or a comedy show or a live TV show on television, I want to learn something and expose something And also make sure people have a good time. Mm. And that's like whether I'm getting a pap smear or hosting Big Morning Buzz Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like as someone who I can be that third person for you and reflect back to what
oh my God,
see
please. Because it's just like who? You're like, I don't even watch myself do stand up. How am I going to know when I'm like,
what is my mission?
What do I have to like write a bio right now? Girl, bye.
Well, here's what I see.
Oh
here's
my
what,
God.
Here's
oh
what James
no.
sees. Are you ready
no.
for this? Mm-hmm. I see that like part of your truth teller, you're a storyteller, mm-hmm. and I think that you through you discovering your own honesty and your own authenticity, mm-hmm. and you're able to shine that back to everybody else. And part of it is you make everybody have a good time, like whether you are hosting with like Nick Lachey or getting a pap smear. I've not been there for the pap smears,
but I imagine.
Let me know. I'll put on my calendar. I'm learning about periods. I'm gonna come to your pap smear. All kinds of things. But I think like you
next episode would be endometriosis.
Oh, there it is. Yes. Yeah, I'll bring the microphone.
Okay.
But like I think that is part of your gift. You are of service in trying to help other people have a good time. And through that,
yes.
there's, again, we talked about this, laughter is healing, mm-hmm. being confronted with something of like, oh my God, connecting with other people. Mm-hmm. Oh, she gets me. Or even just honestly, like you just showing up on TV is huge. You know?
It is?
It's big because
that's so nice.
Because like again, there's so many different types of black women.
Yes.
And so there's some young black girl, even some like Asian girl who's able to connect with you because there's something about your personality or that you remind them of. Like that in and of itself is revolutionary. The work that you are doing is cracking down glass ceilings, doors, whatever. So I see it as like you are a truth teller, a comedian who brings light to the world and just knocking down doors.
I'm going to throw my panties at your face.
Okay.
JK, I'm not wearing panties.
Oh, even better.
I'm not trying to be like sexy. I just have to do laundry.
Yeah. Again, truth teller. Just being authentic. You're just being so authentic
yes.
all the time.
Authenticity. It's so hard to say. Well, this was really fun.
Yeah. Well, are we done? I had another question, but like, are you done? You're like, this
no,
is
this
too
is
much,
great.
Too deep.
Okay. Yeah, the same, you got to make a left and a left, and then the C train is there.
Yeah, I definitely got lost getting here. What's one of the craziest shows you've ever worked on that you were like, or had the most fun? Or was Jenny McCarthy crazy? You don't have to tell me. We can wait till the microphone's off.
Wait, was Jenny crazy or was her show crazy?
Both.
It's shade, honey.
Ah,
take the sunglasses off. It's shady.
Yeah. See, we went from the Oprah feel good, and now we're into the, like, give me the juice.
You know, working with somebody like Jenny or Nick or Maury,
mm-hmm.
you already have like this preconceived notion of them because you've known them longer than they've known you.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is like they're really not there for that.
Yeah.
They don't need to hear the stories about the one time you saw them on Singled Out or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
The fact that they don't know you and you're an up and comer and y'all are working together is like, it really is just like, oh, we're all in it together, truly, in the entertainment industry. Because I've always said today's assistant, tomorrow executive. And the same goes for, I mean, there are so many people that have started way after me that are like have private jets now.
Yeah.
And there are people that I just find hilarious that I've been doing it for 30 years who don't even have a damn TV credit. So what I do love about working with them is that they are also trying to prove to them, not to themselves, but to other people, like not just a has-been. Like, yeah. Here to do stuff.
Yeah.
I do have some other tea, but I don't want to mention names.
You don't have to mention names. Well, can we just... Nick Lachey
yes.
is so... I'm glad it was that member, but he's, like, the hottest one in 98 Degrees. Like,
oh, he's definitely like, the Justin.
Oh, my gosh.
Timberlake. He's the breakout. He's the Beyonce.
I would just be staring at him every day on set. Like...
You know, Nick is so dope. Nick is like your friend that doesn't know how attractive he is.
Oh, that's
which is
the
great.
Best kind of friend.
Like, best kind of friend.
Friend. That's like, yeah, I know I'm hot. You're like, you
him
don't
and
know
Jerry
how-
O'Connell
wow.
don't know.
I could see that.
Yeah, they're super great. And they're like, they're great husbands.
Yeah.
They're present partners. They love being a dad. They just like love like steak and potatoes. And like what they happen to do when they leave the house is be in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
So, and that's who I want to surround myself with. Mm-hmm. People who are doing it, but are also like real ass.
Yeah.
Same with Vanessa. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to watch her Insta stories. This bitch cooking. You know what I mean? Cooking, yeah. Going out to auditions, hosting shit.
Yeah.
I mean, has three kids? Yeah. I got two dogs. I'm like, that's so much shit in my life every day.
How does she do it all?
I don't know, but that's what I like. People like figuring it out. I mean, I'm also like, and this is like none of the people that I've mentioned. There are some people, and you can tell, people who have been in the business a long time, like Harry Connick Jr., who are just like so nice to everybody because they know that everybody is a person and yeah, they're not a monster.
Right.
It's the newbies.
And they're not going to work long because, like, look at Harry's and, like, has such a longevity of his career.
Yeah.
I talked about this before. I think the reason why Halle Berry's been so successful is she's a really nice person.
Is it Haley or Holly?
We got one of our listeners was like, it's Halle. So.
Look, my mom says Sadie, okay? But it's Chardet.
Oh.
So, like, look.
That's,
you know, just don't call me late for dinner, honey.
But there's something about like being a genuine nice person, especially in this industry, is gonna,
it'll get you further than you think.
Yeah,
because then you actually have a respect for the craft and you're not just a star fucker. And I've worked with a lot of those people where I'm just like, oh, you need 3 hours for hair and makeup, but you can't put together two sentences on your own.
Wow.
Okay. Do you even know how to read the teleprompter?
Yeah.
Or are you just here trying to be pretty?
Mm.
Men and women.
Yeah, I'm sure on both sides.
Yeah.
Do you, so you, when you worked on like Eric Andre's show or working with Key and Peele, mm-hmm. do you feel like it's a difference when you work on projects that have more of, let's say, a POC influence?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that, because I've also done Byron Allen's, I don't remember his show.
Yeah, but you, and you're
Comics Unleashed.
Deep cut. And you did, but you were on Larry Wilmore's show.
Yeah, The Nightly Show.
The Nightly Show. Okay. From that one.
Next.
Okay. Ah! And that's what happened. Yeah.
Sure.
What's the experience like working with those sort of type of shows that have more POCs working on it?
Well, what I love about Eric and Jordan and Michael Keegan is that... they definitely, not only are they POCs, they also have their own, what's the word I'm looking for? They have their own voice, and it's such a difference. You can tell a performer who just shows up and is just like, what do you need? As opposed to someone who is a content creator.
Mm.
And when your voice is that strong, I feel like, you know, you're going to be working.
Yeah.
You know, and you're really going to, you're going to have your own show.
Yeah.
Even though you've worked on other people's show, and you're just going to, you're going to make a bigger mark because, you know, you're putting your stank stamp on it. Stank stamp.
Ooh, yeah.
That was hard.
But you got to get that one right because that is a good one. Stank stamp?
Yeah, you got to put your stank on it.
Take two, stank stamp. Because I was like, ooh, I thought it was going. I was like, ooh, she fumbled it. But
I know.
Then you picked it back
it's like
up.
Endometriosis. It's hard.
Ooh, you can just stank let that stamp. One roll off.
Like, look, ooh, I try. You know, don't ask me to spell it, then I'm fucked.
Okay.
please use it in a sentence.
I was going to say, this is the Jeopardy question.
Exactly. But yeah, when you put your stank on something or your stank stamp, it just leaves a bigger mark.
Mm.
And that's, I think, besides being black men in the industry, that's, you know, what those two guys have. And they also have an interesting point of view, too, because they're both biracial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, again, having, they're not letting other people define them. Mm. And they're kind of just speaking to their own experiences. And they also have their foot in all these different worlds.
Yeah.
And they can speak to it. And I think that's why across the board, you know, their work is so amazing. And besides being talented too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I just had an aha moment as you were saying that. And I think it goes back to several points that you've made before about being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And like in the movie where Audrey Plaza was just her full authentic sort of truth self.
Yes.
People respond to that. People are kind of hungry.
For a minute, I was like, who's Audrey Plaza?
We
oh my God, I know! Hashtag this is 40. I was like, what?
But yeah, it's like going back to like having your authenticity and being able to be truthful about it and putting it out there and
yes.
being vulnerable. So it's all of those sort of things. What is one of your unlived lives that you like, if you could have done, you're now on this comedian pathway. Like what's something that you're just like, ugh, I wish I could have done that. Or in another life, you would have been doing that. Like, I'll get the ball rolling first. In another life,
yes,
I'm a backup dancer for Janet Jackson.
Oh, my God.
It's like, you get to that point where you realize that certain dreams are probably not going to happen.
I want the same fucking thing.
We could have been on tour with Janet together.
Did you see the plus size girl she had in her tour?
Yes.
That could have been me! I was like, Lane Bryant, get over here!
She's so good. I went to Sierra. I'm so glad that she had that baby because I missed her the first time around when she was here.
I had tickets to it and got a refund.
I did not have tickets to it, missed out, and then she had that baby, thank God, and then...
Who is she? She is 50, having a baby, still has edges. Who the fuck is Janet?
And she's still dancing it up, dancing, still singing it up.
I can't even fucking tie my shoelaces without running out of breath because these tits are heavy as fuck, and this bitch is dipping and doing it.
Just working out, whipping that ponytail back
whipping that
forth.
Ponytail. Oh my God. I mean, I remember she stops in the middle of one of her songs. She goes, I got so many hits. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. I'm like, yes, Janet. And then, of course, she sings some new stuff. I was like, no, Janet.
Are you not feeling her new stuff? I love her new album.
I really haven't listened to it. I guess I will.
Unbreakable. It is her, I'm going to put this out there, her best album since Velvet Rope. Velvet Rope is some good shit.
Yes.
I know. I see the... Velvet Rope is so personable. Unbreakable is her album that she did after, like, her first album since her brothers died.
Yeah.
It's an album that's actually an album. Because you know some of them just feels like some song kind of slapped together sometimes?
Yeah.
She's back with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Okay.
She started her own label because, you know, she got blacklisted after the... No one to play her music after Nipplegate. Like, yes. She had to literally leave the country.
Ain't that some fucked up? A brown titty shut down the FCC. Now brown titties are saving the fucking country. Thank you, everybody in Alabama.
Thank you.
I appreciate your vote and your brown titties.
Boom. Right there.
I can't. I just cannot. But I will. But I will.
Revisit. The album is good. Start
okay.
to finish.
I learned anything today is revisit.
Revisit. That's what you got to kind of take a look at it. But anyway, she's great. So in your past life, you would have been a Janet. In a different life, you and I are both back in dance.
Definitely. I mean, I want to be a fly girl. I would come home and from school and I had like an hour to play and I was by myself. And so I would just go to MTV and pop the VHS tape in there.
And learn the choreography from
there. Learn all the choreography. Yes. So Thriller or even Debbie Gibson's Electric Youth.
Love it. There's a secret.
I
was literally, my next question was like, what does nobody know about you? Maybe that one right there.
Perhaps. I mean, there are no secrets at this point.
No.
I put everything out besides like my social security in this interview.
That might come at the next 2 minutes. Who knows?
Please, nobody want this.
All right, so backup dancer.
Yeah, backup dancer. Absolutely, because there's some sort of just like weird longevity with backup dancers where it's just like they're always in shape, they always look young. Something about dancing keeps you fucking young.
Yeah.
I mean,
we should go to a dance class together.
No, don't threaten me with a good time.
Oh, come on, yeah.
Yes.
If there's a Friday night dance, I'm going tonight.
I always go to the back. Yes.
Have
you
creepy.
Done Brookvine?
It felt a little creepy. Yeah. I'm like, I know your schedule. I want to go to your show tomorrow. I'm not.
Oh my God, are you going to come to the show tomorrow?
That's my plan. Yeah, I'm coming tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But I usually go to Broadway Dance Center.
I used to go there. I'm 57th or something?
57th. There's this Japanese teacher who's fucking amazing.
You know, if I'm going to do hip hop, I only want to learn it from an Asian person with a perm.
How can they do it so...
Because they're like little ninjas, no pun, and they can move their body, rock their body.
Oh my God, they're so good at the core. I remember when I was on a hip hop dance team, I would go to the competitions and it was like, there would be like every team had one black person on it and they were all like Filipino and Japanese and Asian.
There's also something about being a dancer where... You are a true performer and can find kind of fill a room. And then, like, it's not even that important to sing because you're already selling it with dance. Yeah. Shout out to J-Lo. And
yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
And I was always just like, if I'm going to be a pop star, I'd want like, because I'm so tired of just like basic white singers that have like a bunch of black people around them back up, making them sound good.
Yeah.
I would want a bunch of white people behind me that know how to sing.
Yeah.
To make me sound good, honey.
Boom. Reversing
it. How the fuck do you like it?
2018.
Wear that black turtleneck and those black jeans and be in the back.
You would be in the back.
Can you imagine Meghan Trainor in the back?
That would be amazing.
Get in the back, Meghan Trainor.
You're just dancing.
And I'm just dancing and fucking around with it.
Oh,
yes.
Oh my God, I want to see that.
Oh, me too. One day.
Well, what advice would you have for our listeners out there who want to... Okay, well, next question.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is like, don't tell yourself no before someone tells you no.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because everyone is full of excuses.
Yeah.
And it's like a diet. You just ain't going to do it till one day you wake up and you're just like, I'm ready to change.
Mm.
So don't beat yourself up for not doing it right away. We beat ourselves up way too much.
Yeah.
Just do it when you're ready.
So much harder on ourselves than we would be to anybody outside of ourselves.
Yes. You know?
And that goes, and that, I mean, it goes back to like a lot of like, we're so shameful to our own selves. Mm-hmm. And when I've been, for me, it's like naming shame has been so powerful lately. Cause I can be like, oh, that's what that is. And then I can move through that.
I see you
in the court of shame.
Yeah. Even what's her face in Game of Thrones that walked down the fucking town saying shame. She got back to her fucking kingdom. She's like, get me a fucking hairstylist.
Yeah.
Like, she was ready to fucking go.
She went through her shame.
Yeah. She's like, all right, we done with this shame.
So literally just imagine yourself doing that.
Yeah.
And then you'll move through it and be through it.
Yeah.
That was the other thing I loved about like Wakanda, aka Black Panther. Is it like finally felt like our African folklore type stories.
Yeah.
We have so many that would be these great epics that we could make so much money off of as well.
Angela Bassett is everything.
Mm.
I want to put her face on bread like Nutella and eat it. Oh, man. I hope the FBI doesn't start.
Yeah, that might be a thing right there.
They're too busy investigating Trump, JK.
As they should be. That's where your work should be.
I know.
I'm going to leave you with our last words. Actually, I'm going to say one thing and then I'm going to leave you with the last word. I just want to thank you for being just so amazing.
Oh my God, that got so sincere.
I know. I just switching gears here.
Okay.
I just want to thank you for being you, for being just this comedic joy and spreading your light. And even though you don't see what your mission is, so many of us are affected by your mission. I think that's what also makes you just so humble and talented and great.
Oh my God.
And I feel like
Are you like the end of a yoga class? I cannot. Am I going to hear a bong?
It's coming. I have someone who's going to ring the bell. It's all timed accordingly.
Got it.
But I like, you're only at the, you're like, you're not, you're, you have so much more room of where you're going to go. And I can't wait
to
see what's going to happen. And where you are right now is such fantastic work. Speaking of, you've got a new podcast that is launching April 3rd.
I do. Well, you did do the research, honey.
I know you.
Okay. So I'm doing a podcast with WNYC Studios and I'm so fucking excited because, you know, I've been in this business for 17 years and I've done a lot of failed pilots, talk show pilots. I've done a lot of co-hosting and sidekicking and I love working with WNYC because they're like, please do you, speak your truth and don't worry about fitting into any brand of any network. And I was like, my nipples are hard. When do we start? So it'll be my take on a late night show. And we're going to be taping it at the Green Space. Mm. And we start taping March 13th. And a bunch of Tuesdays afterwards, I think like 10 or 12 or maybe more, but you can go to the website and figure that out. And
we'll post it in the show notes.
You post in the show notes. And and it drops April 3rd. And, you know, I'm happy all the time, but I'm not like excited about shit because I'm just like, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
This is the first time in a long time that I'm excited because I performed in 49 states in this country. The only one has been Alaska. I mean, just because they don't really fly people, black people in during Black History Month like other states.
Right.
And then March is Women's History Month, so that's where I get my most work. But anyways, the point is, the reach I might have with this podcast, I'm just like, sign me the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I feel like I'm Van Jones, but you know, this is what I do for a living. This is what I enjoy doing the most. And I'm just like, let's keep it the fuck going.
Yeah.
So there's that. I also have a Netflix stand-up special coming out sometime in the summer.
Awesome.
It's a 15-minute special. Yes. It's super fun. I'm very proud of it.
Congrats.
That material was like really fun and for me to work on, and I couldn't be happier. There is something else I'm supposed to be promoting, but I don't remember.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say there's something else, but I can't talk about it. You know, we always do that.
I know.
You're like, oh, I can't wait to hear
what
it is.
No, I don't do that. Who gives a fuck?
Like, I just can't.
Then don't bring it up, bitch. You can't talk about it. Don't bring it up. Why would you tell me you have a joint but you don't have it? Get out of here.
And you also are doing a lot of how can they find out when your next shows are?
Oh God.
On your website?
Oh,
that's
well,
a, I find, that's sure. how I find about the show I'm going to tomorrow.
Good thing I update that shit. Yeah, go to michellebuteau.com, B-U-T-E-A-U. Sounds like bureau, but with the T. Ow! And I do this really fun show called Hashtag Adulting with my friend Jordan Carlos, who's another blurred. And, you know, we just kind of like dissect and figure out how and what adulting is, sort of the puberty you opt into. Yes. We have comedians and celebrity guests. We've had Jerry O'Connell and Abby Jacobson and Vinny from Jersey Shore, who, by the way, had his mom living with him up until he was 30, and she would just like straight up make breakfast for his one night stands.
Wow, so it is that's like the dream.
Is it? For the girl, because I never even got a fucking piece of gum when I had one night stand. I was like, I can't get some protein.
I love a little eggs to go.
I mean, and not mom? My ovaries. Ayo. So, endometriosis. So, this is so fucking ignorant. But yeah, that's really fun. Our next big show is April 23rd at the Bell House. And all the proceeds, some shows part of the proceeds, other shows, all the proceeds, benefit some sort of organization. We've done Puerto Rico, Dominica, nice. Planned Parenthood, Black Lives Matter, some sort of fund for equal pay, the UN,
yeah.
Whatever the fuck.
Beautiful.
We're doing it.
Look at you using your power and your light Why to not? Do such good in this world.
Why not? This back fat's here for something, honey. Good morning, Baltimore.
Awesome. And they can find you on social media as well.
I think I just blacked out. I'm just like, what? Yes. Yeah, social media. Just look a bitch up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Last note you'd love to leave with the corner kids with?
Nothing. I've given you everything.
You did. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Release your shame. We'll go with that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and check out Shut Up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Go look at that album. Shut Up.
Oh, my style. God. I can't.
Thank you, Michelle.
That was so much fun.
I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we're the hosts of Everything's Coming Up Simpsons. We are a Simpsons podcast brand new to the Maximum Fun Network, and every episode we cover a different episode of The Simpsons that is a favorite of our special guests.
We've had guests that are showrunners and writers and voice actors like Nancy Cartwright, all people that have worked on The Simpsons, and we've also had guests like Weird Al and people that are on the Max Fun Network already, and each week we will talk to a very cool guest about their favorite episode, and it is so much fun, so if you like The Simpsons, come listen to Everything's Coming Up Simpsons.
All right. Smell you later.
Oh my God. Wasn't that the best? That was such the best. Like, I am so enamored listening to Michelle Buteau and James just talking, having fun. Sometimes people will say, oh, it feels like I'm listening to friends talking when I hear you and James talking on the podcast. I felt that. I felt like I was legit sitting at the kitchen table with Michelle Buteau and James, just enjoying myself, giggling along with them, tee-hee, ha-ha, right along with them. And it just left me with the warmest feeling. It really did. So remember, go check out Michelle Buteau. She has a Comedy Central special. She definitely was on Two Dub Queens on HBO, so use your borrowed ass HBO Go passes to go check that out. And then also, she has a comedy album that is available on iTunes and Amazon, so go buy you some of that, get you some laughs. And if she's traveling in a neighborhood near you, go check her out. I believe she has a podcast coming up. Just everything, you guys. And Michelle Buteau, thank you. Thank you so freaking much for being on our little showy show. And to all of you guys, I just wanted to wish you a good week. Happy Friday. Remember to follow Minority Corner on Twitter, which is Minority Corner with a K. Also, please give us some reviews on iTunes so people can find us better. That would be awesome. Join the Corner Kids Playground. That's on Facebook, y'all. And I believe that's about it. So come on, join the corner, join us, and we'll be back next week with another Minority Corner. Okay, bye guys.
Either way, we're now on the Max Fun Network, and I would like it if you checked it out. It's a lot less professional than what you're hearing right now.
Speaking of not as professional,
It's a minute.
I just hit record just 20 seconds ago. Oh. So we got the end of that. So just give us
what
the head
I even
again.
Say? All right. Hey, my name's Jonah Ray.
The musical. My,
no, it doesn't matter, Neil. My name's Jonah Ray. This is I have a podcast called Jonah Radio with my friends Cash.
Oh, you gave your credits at the top.
No, it wasn't recorded. That's exactly what he just said.
No, but we got something. Now you got to do your credits. Where do people know you from?
Forget it. Listen to Jonah Radio on MaxFun.org.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.